This is Halftime the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, that airs on WANM FM 90.5 every Saturday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. In this episode of Halftime the Playmakers, we'll be recapping the FAMU vs. Jackson State loss, previewing the FAMU vs. Southern game, talk a little bit about college football, and highlight some NBA as the season kicks off this week. With that being said, fellas, I have a lot of people in the studio to help me with the show. Introduce yourselves.
Greetings, what's going on? It's your favorite host, the one that do the most. It's your favorite country Nigerian, Fees, representing Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
What's going on, y'all? It's your boy Jay Scott telling you what's hot, what's not. I ain't Coach Scott today.
The record ain't hot.
Listen, after this week, we never doing this again. So, again, previous episode.
Oh, no, we are.
I'm never being in this position again.
Oh, okay.
Loser with the worst record has to edit the podcast, so that's me this week. Again, not going to happen.
Hey, man, what's going on? It's GT. They call me 3-peat. Coming out of the 912
C-Po.
Savannah, Georgia. Let's get it.
All right. What's Slim? What's Trim? Slim Trim back in the cut.
What's going on, everybody? It's J. Lloyd here. We're back with the Flavor Station. 90.5. Bringing that sauce all the way from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Let's go.
Okay. A lot of Georgia in the building. I feel it. Now, fellas, let's talk about some FAMU football. FAMU just lost to Jackson State 35-21. What is your thoughts about the game and then potentially not being able to swack repeat because of this loss?
I should have stayed true to what I felt in my gut when I said FAMU was going to lose to Jackson State over the summer. And then I got to the season and I said, you know what, FAMU going to beat them, and end up not going like that. But, I mean, from what I heard, it was pretty bad. I mean, you get outscored 15-0 in the second half after having a lead at halftime. Turnovers continue to be a problem. I don't know what they got to do. I don't know. Them boys need to run more gas or to do 6 inches at practice or something like that. But they got to do something about them turnovers. That's already the issue of one thing. And I don't know. They just got to play cleaner ball. Not in a situation that they've been in, 2021 or 2022 seasons where they got to prey on another team downfall because they didn't handle business. So, you know, we'll see how it turned out.
Yeah, Jackson got to lose twice for us to repeat. So, like you were saying, we got outscored 15-0. You know, we got outscored 15-0 in the last 2 minutes of the game. And I believe on 3rd and 8, when D. Rich had fumbled, that was a bad play call. Jackson State's offense was a shell for itself for the whole second half. So I felt as though like they should have ran the ball and at least took some time off the clock and just
made. We couldn't even do that.
I'm just saying, just to keep the clock rolling. Like
from a standpoint of coaching, yes.
You at the 30-yard line. Like offensively, y'all look stagnant in the second half. Defensively, y'all been making stops in the second half. Trust your defense again. But it was a great play by Jackson State. They made a fumble, recovered it, and they scored a touchdown. But then we get back, and another fumble. Like I don't get what's going on. Like, you catch the ball, and you tuck the ball in, and you just keep fumbling. Like, this is not the first time he done did that.
Ball security need to be drop security again, like Willie Sanders used to say. Fumble the ball, you get taken out.
No, they always say, every time me and you go to practice, oh, we got to take care of the football. Take care of the football. It's the same thing every week they say to repeat themselves, and it constantly happens. Fumble, interception,
so
fumble.
I'm just going to reiterate what everybody else is saying, but I'm going to add this. When we were asking what our opinions were earlier in the season, if we can continue to have the success or what are the things we need to work on, I kept saying, we're all right. You know, we're having all these issues, but at least we know what they are. We can fix them going forward. We have not made any progress as a team since week 0 against Norfolk State. We have made no progress.
We have not made
any progress on offense.
Yeah, we had 60 rushing yards. We can all do that as a group.
We have made no progress on the offensive or defensive line. Swiss cheese, both. Now, granted, Irv Mulligan is a great running back for Jackson State, but at no point should domination happen the way that it did, because they were able to control time of possession to the point where even if we had that late mess up with the fumble, we should have been able to get the ball back and score again. But with time of possession, that came way later in the game to the point where it's now like a game-changing play. Offensive line wasn't there for D. Rich. I mean, he's been making plays on his feet all year and being able to roll out and extend plays, but we said that against these teams like Jackson, it's going to get us beat. Lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. And again, ball security. I mean,
at this point, it's just
if
very,
somebody keeps fumbling, you on the bench with me.
I got a turnover tally somewhere. Just give me a little.
Yeah, I was looking for mine too.
You on the bench with me.
Because he did the same thing against South Carolina. He did the same thing against Norfolk State.
Miami.
Like G was saying, he made a great catch against Miami, and in the following play, he fumbled.
No, that was the same play.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was the same play. So it's like, you see that he has an issue with fumbling. And when you looked at that Jackson State game, he caught the ball and he just had, like, he literally had the ball out here like this instead of him tucking it in. And it wasn't even close to saying, like, it was incomplete. He knew he fumbled as soon as he got the ball smacked out. Go ahead, G.
FAMU has thrown 6 interceptions and fumbled the ball 12 times. 7 of those fumbles have been recovered by the
other team. Just think
about
that.
And the 6 interceptions are all on the road, correct?
Nah, he threw. Did he throw one?
He didn't throw against South Carolina.
I mean, we only played one game.
But I'm saying, everything is on the road, basically.
That's
horrendous.
He's not winning no football like that.
Last year, FAMU team fumbled the ball 16 times, and 7 of them got recovered by the other team. And that was through what 13 game season they played last year. So
14.
So.
Well, honestly, since you bring that up, we actually shut Jackson State down in the second half.
Yep.
What happened was them 2 turnovers is what caused us the game. Like, Jackson State was not able to move the ball at all in the second half. Granted, they did move the ball 1 time and got all the way to field goal range and missed. But you got to take into consideration the fumble six that Jackson State took back. And then the following play, a fumble again, and now Jackson State is inside their 10-yard line. Of course, you knew that was the ball game from there.
I got a question, though, and I just want to ask you. Do you feel like FAMU is too reliant on quarterback play?
They have to. Yes, they have to.
Offense is, like, beyond one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And I had somebody say, they said, oh, D-Rich sold. I said, D-Rich has bailed them out of
so many games.
Yeah, so many games. You can't expect them to play hero ball every single time.
Because Norfolk State, we were supposed to lose that game. We was watching that live.
South Carolina State was feeling like an L. The home streak over, it's all over.
Like, we were saying that, like, South Carolina State fans, they just talking to us. Like, we was right there next to them. They like, yeah, we going to break y'all road street. And it was like, we was all quiet because we had nothing to say because our offense did not look like it could do anything. But D. Rich, again, came, saved the day, won us the game. And, like, you could even look against Troy. I felt as though the Troy game, we could have actually had won that game. Like, realistically, yep. if we just had a decent run game, like, a great run game for the swag, but just a decent run game for, like, FBS-wise, we could have won the game. But then you had Troy that was only having 4 in the box, 5 in the box, and they were still stopping our run. It became a problem. So now you go to a game, like, against Jackson State, and you knew Jackson State was going to run down your throat. You knew they couldn't really pass the ball. So it's no adjustments being made. But that play when he fumbled, it really wasn't on him. It was more so of a great defensive play, cause he took a hit. You feel me? And the fumble wasn't even on him as well either. Like, he threw the ball, made a good play, tight end just could not hold on to the ball, and he just fumbled the pig away. Like, you fumbling, you dropping the church's money on the floor.
Really? And that's what he's been all season. Well, Country, with that being said, let's turn the page to Southern now. Southern's coming in at 3-0. Just how can FAMU pivot from this loss and get back in the win column? Starting with you, Jay Scott.
They got to do what our co-host favorite team, Alabama, hasn't been able to do since they beat Georgia, which is move on. So we have to have short-term memory, of course. We have to go out and perform. But we have to keep the main thing the main thing. It was always supposed to. We had to win out the season. That goal hasn't changed at all. We now just have to rely on some extra pieces. But, again, we have to do the little things right. Stop the penalties. Stop turning the ball over. And establish some sort of run game where we can control the clock. That way, even if Southern has these big plays, which have let them have success in previous games, we can limit the frequency that they have these big plays because we control the time of possession.
Hey, man, me next, man. I ain't trying to hear all that other stuff, man. Hey, we got to take it back to the basics for real. We are a bad tackling team. Like,
emphasis on a capital B, capital A.
Yeah, man. It was a couple of times where Jackson State would turn a 5-yard run into a 20-plus run, 30-plus run, or a 50-yard touchdown. Like, we have to go back to the fundamentals. And I don't know if it's like a personnel issue. I don't know if it's a coaching issue. Because like you said, Bama do have the same problems when it comes to tackling. We're not a good tackling team right now. So there's nothing wrong with going back to the fundamentals. And I think we have a very important stretch with Southern. And also we play Texas Southern for a homecoming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have a pretty important stretch coming up. And I hate that we don't have our own fate in our own hands. Like, our season kind of depends on Jackson State now.
Yeah, and it doesn't really look good for us. Because if you look at Jackson State's next couple of games,
they're not playing another team over 500.
Yeah, you could scratch a loss to Alabama State. That's about it.
I disagree. They're going to win out, and our season's over.
No, I'm sorry.
I mean, I think we
haven't spoken this entire segment. That's the first
that's
thing
the
you
first
talk
thing
with?
You say
yes, our season is over. We're not beating around the bush. Our season's over. Jackson's not losing to anybody else.
I think we can still aim for the FCS playoffs, correct?
We can.
Even then, but we'll get smoked in the first round.
It's fun for me to watch.
And we're losing money.
We're not actually losing money by going. We're not. We're actually losing money if we don't go. So the thing is, like Tristan is saying, like the fact that we got to put our faith in our own hands is actually ridiculous. And this game was to me who was going to win the SWAC. So now you got Jackson State, who has a clear path. All they got one game to give away, and doesn't matter which game it is. But it's like, other than that, I don't see another loss on their
Let
on
me
their
check
record.
Their schedule real
they play only they play against Alabama.
The only teams that can lightly beat them is probably Alabama State.
I'm gonna tell you their next game against Bethune, win. Against Arkansas Pine Bluff, win. Mississippi Valley State, win. Then you got your last two games, which is at Alabama State and at Alcorn State. Alabama State ain't really an easy place to win, but I think Jackson State can still get it done. And Alcorn State, you know how that game goes. It's
Alcorn
a rivalry
State
game.
Lost to Southern,
so. I mean, still, it's Alcorn State versus Jackson State has always been a game. So it don't even matter Alcorn State
record
is.
We still have two more tough games. We still have to play Southern, and we still have to play Alabama A&M. I don't think that's going to be an easy game by any means.
Like I said, our path hasn't changed because we had to win out regardless.
Justin, just how does FAMU pivot and get a win against Southern?
But I have to reiterate what Jay Scott said. We have to move on. We talked about a team in Alabama who won a big Georgia game and couldn't do that. But we didn't talk about a team who did do that, which was Georgia. And obviously, they had a big win over the weekend. We have to get back to the basics. I'm looking for our most complete performance yet against Southern this weekend. Sustained drives, run the football, stop the run. And if we can do those things or at least show signs of improvement in doing that, I think our outlook on the season will be a lot better.
Stop the run? Or?
I mean, like you said, it's a tackling issue.
Question mark?
It's a scheme, tackling, mentality issue.
I think it goes back to coaching, though, because we didn't have these tackling problems last year. We had a Musa problem, but not a tackling problem.
Well, we had an Isaiah Major,
bro,
so
Musa
and a Gentle Hunt.
Was
and
player of the year.
Yeah, anyway, back to what I was saying. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Jay Scott, with who we had, but at the same time, it's like, I don't think it should be that far of a drop off.
Yeah, because it's a bad drop off. I'm talking
about
simple tack. Like, they're not wrapping up. When you got people like how you said earlier, Tristan, when you let somebody turn a 3 to 5 yard run into a 25 yard gain or a 50 yard gain, it's insane off of bad tackling.
And surprisingly, with the way Daniel Richardson has been playing this season, you would think that, like, you know, we would be undefeated in SWAC play.
Because, we should.
Because as you know, Deion said a few years ago, pretty much all you need in the SWAC is a good quarterback and you're good to go. And we, surprisingly, I was down on him at first, but watching him play, I'm actually pleasantly surprised with how he's been playing. So I can't put the blame on the offense. The offense shows up. I think it's really more so the defense letting this team down.
I would put some of the blame and what they need to work on the offense as well, as far as fumbling. The football, that's fundamental.
I think we need a run game. I think our run game hasn't really been.
Oh, no, we had 60 yards against Jackson State. We all do it in the studio.
So I do feel as if, like, offensive line has never really been, like, a point of, like, emphasis for us. I feel like we've never really had the best offensive line. But, I mean, again, it's SWAC play. So I think our offensive line has been better than others.
This is a year where we aren't as dynamic in the backfield, though.
That is true.
We haven't been able to get away with that.
What happened to Yant? Where is Yant? He disappeared off the face of the earth.
No, where's Pruitt?
Did y'all see his mom go off?
Let's start there.
Jeremiah Pruitt, about him not playing.
This was, like, early in the season, right?
No.
Last 48 hours.
But why is he not playing?
I'm getting on my Jeremiah Pruitt soapbox right now. When you got somebody that's on the Reese's Senior Bowl watch list, you should be doing whatever it takes to get them on the field, because they can put FAMU on a national level of playing with these guys on the who come from these big schools that play in a showcase game like that. I don't know what's all going on, you know, locker room wise or personnel wise, but
Adam Schefter.
It's no reason that Jeremiah Pruitt, who also has experience playing wide receiver, is not getting any reps on the field.
Well, can we also put an APB out for Kelvin Dean, please?
First and foremost,
Kelvin Dean gets all this hype coming into the season, a SWAC preseason All-American, and 17 yards against Southern.
Like, can we please put an APB out?
I'm sorry, 17 yards against Jackson State.
He was used more as a receiver. I can do that, but I don't know.
He said I can do that.
I can do that.
Yeah, I always saw Kelvin Dean as more of a receiving back. He didn't have a crazy like any crazy rushing yards last year, but.
I think all the hype came from the Celebration Bowl.
Yeah,
a flea flicker.
But that's when he's most dynamic. Even when he came into training camp last year, I always was like, bro, like as a like receiving out the backfield. I don't know if this is a little before y'all time, but it's kind of like Brian Westbrook, who used to play for the Eagles a long time.
You thought you ate with that?
Talking about a long time.
Like, come on, man. Come on. He thinking we like young.
Roll with this man.
I mean, Tristan is older than me, so I mean, I know he know him.
Bro, you pushing 40, bro. Stop.
Jeremiah Pruitt has only had one catch for 0 yards.
And that's the problem.
That is a major issue.
But Ace Cobb been going crazy, though.
Yeah,
he's picking it up.
Yeah,
I can't lie.
But score prediction for me?
Score prediction. Let's talk about score prediction.
I'm going to say 24-10 FAMU.
24-10 FAMU. Justin?
I'm going to say 28-10
FAMU. Mike?
I'm going to go 14-20.
I'm going to go 23-19.
J. Scott?
21-19.
We all got FAMU winning, right?
My score prediction is tune in to Tallahassee Democrat on Thursday when I make up my mind. But FAMU going to win, though.
I don't have FAMU winning.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you don't have FAMU?
Yeah, I have FAMU losing this game.
Why is that, Country?
I feel as though, one, they're not going to come into the game mentally prepared. I feel as though they're going to come into the game thinking Southern's going to roll over.
Or think about the past.
Yeah, and I also feel as though Southern understands FAMU's weakness is running the ball. And they're not going to load up the box because they're going to feel as though they can stop this run with just five people and make Daniel Richardson pass the ball the entire game.
Well, I don't know if that's what they want to do, because he's proven to be able to beat somebody through the air.
Like I said,
we ain't got Musa no more. That boy going to throw it.
All right.
My fault. My fault.
My score prediction, though, is 28-17 FAMU. Now, Justin, we talked about Alabama. You got an Alabama fan in here right now. You know, Tristan, you snuck away last week.
Talk to me.
This time, Rocky Top, you didn't sneak away. Y'all lost 24-17. Yeah. Talk to me.
Hey, but really,
what happened?
But really quickly, before Tristan go, Justin, remember when I told you last week, this is the SEC. Okay. Now, I'm just
chaos.
Saying, chaos is the middle name.
Chaos is due.
Is Southern Eastern chaos. That's what it's called.
I will say, because Jeff, I did tell you I had Tennessee winning this game. I did say I had Tennessee winning this game.
Interesting.
I must have missed that too.
We talked in person about it.
I don't remember.
But yeah, I did say I had Tennessee winning this game. Alabama's just been too up and down, and I talked to my dad about it. Going back to, if you watch Washington the last 2 years, they played down in their competition a lot when it was with Kalen DeBoer. Also, I need him to understand, Jalen Milroe is not Michael Penix Jr. You are dropping him back 50 times a game. I don't know what you're
45
seeing.
45 passing attempts, yeah.
And he's not as accurate.
You have Jam Miller and Justice Haynes in the backfield. Run the ball. You have two of the best running backs in the SEC.
The best duo on SEC, for being
honest. Why won't you run the ball? Why are you refusing to run the ball? I mean, I get it. The right side of the offensive line isn't where we want it to be. But you have Tyler Booker. And you have Caden Proctor on the left side of the ball. Run the ball. You are not going to beat anybody dropping back 50 times for Jalen Milroe. I love him. He cool peoples. And stop trying to force feed Ryan Williams.
How many targets did he have? At least 15, right?
I think Ryan Williams had at least like 14, 15 targets. I know he had 12 in the first half.
I think it was reaching towards 20 by
the end. It was crazy. And don't get me wrong. I love Ryan Williams. But Ryan Williams is not the person you want to throw a jump ball to.
I
don't know what we're doing with play. You have Caleb Odom. What did you move him to wide receiver for if you're not gonna use him? He's 6'6".
You know where he's from?
He's from Georgia. Yes, we know.
Carrollton.
Yeah, Carrollton, Georgia. Woohoo! But the point I'm making is the play calling is not good. And don't even get me started on the defensive side of the ball. You have a young secondary. Why are you only sending 3 or 4? You have to help the defensive backs out. You're not doing them any favors. They're not going to be able to hold up in coverage the whole game.
I'm not gonna lie to you. The secondary is pretty decent, but that's not the issue with y'all defense. It's that run defense. Y'all are third to last in stopping the run in the SEC.
It was only a couple of big run plays.
That's what I'm saying. And if you watch the whole game, the first half, they bottled up the run. It was the second. Like I said, again, you can't keep putting the defense on the field. But we don't have, like, an old-school Nick Saban defense. You can't keep putting them out there and expecting us to win. We don't have a Minka Fitzpatrick. We don't have a Jonathan Allen. We don't have a Reuben Foster. We don't have these guys. So you can't keep putting the defense out on the field expecting them to bail us out every time. Maybe next year, when some of these DBs have a little bit more experience, when our defensive line is a little bit more experienced, we're more than likely to lose Deontay Lawson and
Justin Jefferson.
Nah, I think Justin Jefferson might come back. But, I mean, the point is, though, we just don't have the personnel to do that. And I also feel like you have to give them time because this is a new system. So they want to bring in their own personnel as well. But at the same time, please stop dropping back Jalen Milroe 50 times a game. Run the ball. Please. Justin. Talk your talk.
I was disappointed with what I saw this weekend, mostly because we talked about the defense being itchy the last 2 weeks. First half, they gave me about as good a performance as I could ask.
This is true.
That Alabama's offense just could not execute on. We could not get scores after that. We talked about Jalen Burrow. I don't know what it is with him. He doesn't look like
he's digressed.
I think he's hurt.
I think he's hurt.
It looks like Linger.
It looked like it, too.
My thing is, if you want to drop back and pass 50 times a game, that's fine. But don't, wouldn't you want to put Ty Simpson, a better passer of the ball, in the game?
It seemed like he would have fit the scheme better for that weekend, but I just think with Jalen Milroe, that's never how you should see that sort of thing. If he isn't Lamar, to where I think that you should be relying on him to get you big chunk plays the same way Lamar was. He doesn't have the same sort of wiggle. But I'm talking more about rolling out play action sort of plays. The amount of quarterback sneaks that we're running right now, it doesn't look like he's able to get through the holes with the same level of speed. Like I said, mm-hmm. That burst just is not there right now. And in the second half, it put our defense in a very tough situation. We can't capitalize on anything we saw in the first half. I'm not going to lie. I could say that Alabama should have been blowing Tennessee out of halftime.
No, they definitely should have blown Tennessee out.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
Tennessee, and the amount of throws that Nico was missing in the first half.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was bon voyage.
I also think Josh Heupel is not doing Nico justice. Like, they're not putting him in a good situation to be successful.
So what position would you put Nico in? Because I don't know how more, like, what else do you? Because
some of the drops, it was on the wide receiver. Yeah. It wasn't
no,
on
no,
him.
No, no. A lot of them passes, he just overshot them. But
that's
also,
true. No, that's
but
true.
I also feel like if you go back to how they used Hendon Hooker, there was like it was a lot of quick slants. They played a quick game. They build up into the deep throws. They didn't just start off bombs away. You know, it kind of, they got Hendon Hooker, and they also ran the ball. So, and they run the ball now.
Yeah, Dylan Sampson.
I'm not going to lie. I think Nico's biggest issue is he's still thinking that they playing these cupcake schedules that they was playing in the beginning of the season. Because he keeps looking for the big plays every single time, and it's becoming an issue. And
holding on to the ball for too long.
And yeah. Holding on to trying to look for that big play.
He looks long to short instead of short to long.
Right. And you'll notice real quick in the SEC, that's not a productive game, especially when you're that young.
He only got like 8 starts. But at the same time, I say it's not too many teams right now in NCAA, in college football. I say NCAA because I play the game a lot. Mm-hmm. But in college football right now, that Nico wouldn't start at.
Or even have that type of arm talent to compare to another quarterback. So he has an arm.
Correct. I think it's probably only like maybe 5 or 6 teams that probably wouldn't take Nico right now as their starting quarterback. Everybody else, Nico would start in most situations.
I think everybody in the top 10 would be good with who their quarterback is right now.
You think Oregon would rather have Dylan Gabriel or Nico?
Dylan Gabriel.
What do you think?
Do you think
Oklahoma regrets letting Dylan Gabriel walk right now?
100%.
Because Jackson Arnold is a I feel as though Alabama could recuperate, but it's these next stretch of games, and
they got to go to Death Valley. That's another hard one.
This is I've said it from the beginning. This is the hardest stretch of the season. We had Tennessee. We lost that game. We got Missouri this week, and then we have LSU next week.
You have to go. What, 1-4?
Not even
or
that.
We still got a chance.
We got to at least win these next two games. We can't drop anymore because they dropped us to number 15. So we have no room for because we're already out of the SEC championship. But I'm happy about that. I don't want to be in the SEC championship right now. So I think we have. I mean, you might be able to sneak it. Like if we have a respectable loss to say like LSU at Death Valley, we might be able to sneak in at like a 12 seed, but even then, I wouldn't want it.
They're not taking the top 12 teams. They're taking the seeding of 12
teams. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was about to play. And then you also got to think about it, too. It's other teams that you got to understand, like, okay, are y'all better than these teams? Like, if you say
Resume-wise,
like, let's talk about the losses that y'all got.
Off rip, we have the best win in college football right now. You can't argue that.
But y'all also got the worst loss.
Got the ugliest loss.
Well, actually, it's not even a worst. It's not even a worst. It's not even a bad.
Number 25 right
Yeah,
now.
I was just about to say, it's not even a bad loss.
It's really not looking like that bad of a loss right now.
I think
we're saying it's a bad loss because of who Vanderbilt
was. At the time, it was like Vanderbilt was not that team for y'all to lose to. But now it's looking like, okay, this is actually, that might have not been a bad loss like we thought it was. But you got to think about the SEC in itself, like who you got to take out. Yep. So I'm looking at it right now.
So the winner of the Big Ten automatically. So it's going to be Oregon or Ohio State. I think Penn State is a fraud.
I think
three teams out of Big Ten make it regardless.
Hold on. Watch Indiana.
Hold on, Jay Scott, because I told you about Indiana quarterback being the Heisman race, and you said, I don't know about that.
I also said you were smoking milk.
I
do apologize about that, because I said you were smoking milk as well. But I definitely agree. You right about that. But it's like you got to take out the teams in the SEC. Like, who you taking out of here? Texas A&M, LSU, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas.
So I think Georgia and Texas have automatic. They're in there regardless.
Okay, because they don't got to play each other again.
They'll play each other again in the SEC championship.
I don't think so, because if you look at the SEC right now where it stands, if LSU beats I'm not even playing propaganda right now. If LSU wins out, that eliminates Bama. Right. If Texas A&M wins out, that eliminates Bama.
I think. My biggest thing is it's not these teams, because we already know most of these teams. Oregon, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas. I think Miami's probably going to get in over Clemson.
Even if Miami loses to Clemson, they still getting in.
So my thing is, in Iowa State and BYU is probably going to have like a knockout. Whoever wins that game is probably going to make it in. So my thing is, who's going to have that at-large bid? That's what I'm interested in. Is it going to be Boise State?
You just named all the at-large bids. You literally just named all of them.
No, I mean like
no, the at-large, they mean like the group of five.
Yeah.
Oh, the group of five. Yeah. Oh, that's you got Army, got Navy, you got Liberty.
Army, Navy, Liberty, Boise State.
Yes, Boise State is
not,
awesome.
I'm not going to say Liberty, but I definitely say Boise State, Army, Navy.
Listen, Army in a college football playoff predicament. Family.
Diabolical.
No. It's crazy that you say that, because it's like Army and Navy game this year.
It actually has huge.
It has so much.
Family, A&M in Texas.
Absolutely.
So it's like that. I was gonna say this Michigan State. I said Michigan State. Michigan versus Ohio State game.
I just peeped. Pitt is also undefeated.
But Pitt still has to play Clemson,
they still have to play SMU and Clemson, and they still have to play Louisville.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. So I was about to say that might be two games. We'll see
good they really are.
Speaking about another SEC team that's handling business, unlike Bama, Georgia went to Austin, Texas, and beat Texas 30-15.
They just beat them.
Yeah, I'm about to say that.
That game was not as close as the score made it seem.
Yeah.
Just thoughts on that game.
That was their welcome to the SEC moment.
It was. I felt as though the SEC schedule makers did Texas a huge disservice, because it's like what they did to Oklahoma, I felt as though they should have did that to Texas.
But I also feel like I didn't think they thought Michigan and Oklahoma was going to be that bad. So it's like when they made that schedule, you got Oklahoma, then you got Georgia the week right after Oklahoma. Oklahoma was a respectable team last year.
Right.
They lost two games. So when you see it this year, they're like, oh, dang, you got Oklahoma and Georgia back-to-back, and you're going to the Big House at the beginning of the season? No one thought Michigan was going to look as bad as they did. We knew there was going to be question marks on the offense. They still had a lot of returning pieces on defense. So no one thought that Michigan game was going to go the way it did. So I think you can only, I think it was Mike that kept stressing that last year, but he's kind of right to an extent. You can only play who's in front of you.
Uh-oh, Mike. Mike look, getting the credit he deserves?
Hey, so Tristan, I get that, but that Texas and Oklahoma game, that's not an SEC game. That doesn't even count because they've been fighting for 34 million years. I know, but I'm just saying that's not a welcome to the SEC moment. Oh, your first SEC moment game was at home against Mississippi State, who we all knew was going to be bad. Okay, so you got a cakewalk to that. Then you play against Oklahoma. That's somebody that you already know. You know the team from last year and the year before that. So you already know what you're getting at. Then you knew your toughest opponent was going to be Georgia, but you get that at home. Yeah. You have yet to go on an SEC road yet. They don't even face an SEC tough opponent until the last game of the season against Texas A&M.
Which I think they probably might lose, honestly.
It's a possibility, but it's like you got Vanderbilt at on the road. That's not a hostile environment.
Texas A&M has looked surprisingly well this year.
They have. You can't disagree with that. But then you got Arkansas. Then you got Kentucky at home. Then you finish the season with Texas A&M on the road.
And I also want to say while I'm looking at it, I think Billy Napier might have bought himself another.
I was just going to say you didn't mention Florida. Yeah.
No. I wasn't mentioning Florida. I was talking about their road games. I was talking about their road games.
I get it, I think now that we look like Florida actually looks respectable.
The only time I'm gonna give Mike his credit, man. You got it, bro. Now will they compete for the Make-A-Wish Wichita Bowl?
We need to
for
win. Sure. listen.
But I feel like we're getting off topic.
No.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I just have a different takeaway on this game. I'm actually not that moved by Georgia still.
Really?
I'm not that moved by
Is it
Georgia
because of Carson Beck's turnover? Is he turnover prone?
Carson Beck thing. I think they have an execution issue on offense.
That's fine, but that defense looked like a stonewall.
Jalen Walker. Oh, my God.
Hold on. Jalen Walker had 3 sacks. Yes. Oh, my God. Mykel Williams, 2 sacks. Damian Wilson, 1 strip sack. That's ridiculous off the front line alone.
I mean, yes. I'm going to give you the best defensively for that game. But it's 2 sides to the ball game, man. And I look at a team that was scoreless in the third quarter. Mm. 3 turnovers. Mm.
It wasn't.
I look at this game and I still have questions about Georgia all around.
Georgia, what? Passing game? I have a question about Georgia's passing game, if I'm being honest.
I have a question about their running game, too.
I don't have a question about the running game.
They got a good performance with Trevor Etienne in this weekend.
But. And that's the thing.
I believe so.
I believe so because
they play Florida, Ole Miss, Tennessee, and the only game away between those three games is Ole Miss.
Hey, Justin, I got agree with you on something, because when I look at this Georgia team, it looks like copycat of a better defensive Ole Miss team.
Huh?
Because it's like Georgia and Ole Miss is like they starting to look identical to me.
Offensively,
because you got a quarterback that's actually underperforming better than what he's actually supposed to be playing. Jackson Dart is supposed to be playing way better than what he's playing right now. Same thing for Carson Beck. But the difference is Georgia's defense has been saving Carson Beck. Honestly, Georgia, I got to agree with him. Georgia does not look as dominant as I thought that they should. Because their defense made them start inside the 50 multiple times.
But I think it's an internal problem with Carson Beck. I think after that Alabama loss, he was questioning himself, questioning what he can do as far as ability-wise, and the turnovers are showing. I think it's a problem with him. I don't think it's off entirely. I think it's just him.
Really? But if you got a team that could capitalize off of these turnovers, is going to make Georgia look very mediocre.
True. But Justin, I think if he did better in Alabama, I think he wouldn't. He's not playing poor, but he wouldn't be this bad right now.
No, Jeff, that he's playing poor. You throwing?
No, he is. I'm saying he is poor right now. But I'm saying if he played better in Alabama, I wouldn't think what he's doing now would be happening.
Carson Beck on the season has 15 touchdowns and 8 interceptions.
I understand that. I'm saying he's playing bad. Right? I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying
say
is
it's just Carson Beck. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
Listen. No receivers.
The wide receivers suck too. Yes. I've been saying the wide receivers are bad. I've been saying the wide receivers are bad.
Wide receiver one.
They never had one since George Pickens. Let's be honest.
I mean, come on now. You can't disrespect. I'm blanking on the name.
Lad McConkey?
Yeah.
Wide receiver.
And also Brock Bowers.
Saying like a go-getter number one. Not tight end.
Wait.
Let me stop.
Because if you're going to say that. No. I got this. If you're going to say that, First and foremost, George Pickens barely even played at Georgia. He was injured the most, the majority of the season.
But when he played, it was a go-getter number one mentality.
No. Let me stop. I'm not giving him no excuses because you know why? A couple of years ago when Bryce Young last year at Bama, when he didn't have a go-getter number one receiver.
He still made things happen.
On me. And Jeff wasn't giving him no pass. He's talking about all them four or five stars he got.
It shouldn't even matter.
And then on top of that, he's supposed to be the number one draft quarterback, right? I ain't making no excuses for Carson Beck. You better make something out of nothing.
Yeah, he was. I was on that train. I'm off that train though.
But I'm off that train. I'm not gonna lie. It seems like if teams draft Carson Beck, I'm just gonna be honest with you. You're drafting
Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen is crazy.
Josh Rosen is
diabolical. That's
crazy. I was gonna say Daniel Jones. I was just gonna say he's gonna have to have one major supporting cast with him.
I hate when people say that. Every quarterback has to have a supporting cast in the NFL.
Now, fellas, with that being said, let's hop in some NFL picks. But before we do our quick pick for the NFL, because we got a lot of NBA to talk about, we're gonna go over last week's records. I went 11-4. Mm-hmm. G went 12-3. J. Scott, 8-7, adding the podcast this week.
Uh-huh. Country, never below 500, though.
That is true. Country, you went 12-3. EJ went 11-4. Mike, you went 10-5.
Yup.
Shout out to you. And Justin, you went 10-5 as well.
I don't need no shout out. I'm locked in.
Hey, first and foremost, don't ever do that again. You better, next time you say who got the best record, talk about the people who had the best records overall. So,
all right.
No.
As a matter of fact, let's do that. Because, Mike over here talking about, I'm cool, bro. I'm locked in, bro. Mike, you're not above 500.
I am above 500.
He is by three.
Exactly. Look at you glazing. All
right.
Now let's get into the week 8 picks, fellas. Starting off Thursday night, Vikings Rams. Country, who are you taking?
I'm taking the Minnesota Vikings.
Vikings. All right. Scott?
Vikings.
G?
Vikes.
Justin?
Vikings.
Tristan?
Vikings.
Mike?
Vikings.
All right, everybody's taking the Vikings. I'm going to the Vikings as well. Ravens versus the Browns. Who we taking?
Ravens.
Baltimore.
Ravens.
This is the last time I choose the Browns at all.
Yeah, I don't know why he did that.
Ravens.
Ravens.
All right, clean sweep. Titans versus Lions.
Lions.
All right, clean sweep. Cardinals versus Dolphins.
Give me the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Give me the Cards.
Cards.
Hey, I'm going to take the Cardinals.
I'm going to go Cards, man.
All right, clean sweep again. Jets, Patriots.
Jets.
Give me the Jets.
Jets.
Clean sweep once again. Falcons, Bucks. This ain't a clean sweep.
It's not. I got the Bucks.
I got the Falcons.
Oh, my gosh.
Bro, if we don't get our receivers back, like, I vow to never take
Country, Bucks, correct?
Wait.
Bucks versus Falcons.
Time out.
Tampa's home.
What's their receiver status looking like? Mike,
Mike not gonna be there, and Chris Godwin's not gonna be there either.
Let me get the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, so you changed. All
yeah,
right.
yeah, I'm changing. My bad.
No, if you bulk, no,
bro, just say
you
your pick, bro.
No. If you bulk,
so you taking the Bucks.
So everybody but Jalen Scott, correct?
No, don't tell Kiwi. I'm taking the Falcons.
So everybody.
They said don't tell.
Yeah, I'm taking the Falcons. I'm taking the Falcons.
Clean sweep. All right.
Look, we don't have receiver number one or two. What do you want Baker to do out there?
But when we said that about Jalen Hurts, y'all was on it.
No, we're not doing
sick,
that,
bro. Y'all make me sick.
Next game, Packers versus Jags. Who we taking?
Packers.
Yeah, Packers.
I think there's a clean sweep.
Yeah,
Packers.
Clean sweep. All right, bro. We end up with all the same record.
I mean, that's what it's looking like.
Colts versus the Texans.
I said Packers, right?
Give me the Texans.
Texans?
Yeah.
Texans. Houston.
Is everybody taking Houston?
Oh, yeah, Houston, yeah.
Clean sweep again.
Yeah, I'm going to go Texans.
Hey, is it like week games this week or something?
No, the Texans and Colts is an interesting matchup.
It is.
Is Nico Collins playing this
week? No. That's a great question. No. I don't think it matters either, to be honest.
Oh, totally don't.
Say. All right, so everybody but Justin.
Yeah, he's going to be acting.
Saints versus Chargers. Who we taking?
Chargers.
Give me the Chargers.
Chargers.
I chose the Saints last week.
Boy, the Saints, the biggest catfish I've never seen in NFL history.
So everybody's taking the Chargers. All right, great. All right, this should not be the same result, but we'll see. Bills versus Seattle. Who we taking?
Give me Seattle
as well.
Give me the Bills.
Yeah, give me Bills.
I'm going with the Bills.
Where the game at?
Seattle.
Give me Seattle.
I feel it's like it's one of those games.
Justin, Bills, who'd you have again?
The Bills. Give me the Bills.
I'm with the Bills.
Yeah. Don't sleep on that. That Coop pickup gonna be huge for them though. It's already showing.
Panthers versus Broncos. Who are we taking?
Broncos.
Panthers? I'm playing Broncos.
Be serious for a second. Yeah, Broncos.
All right, everyone here. Chiefs versus Raiders has a clean sweep. I don't even say that. Bears versus Commanders. This is a great game, fellas.
Give me Chicago.
Give me Washington.
It's Chicago.
Nah. Give me Chicago.
You going to Chicago? Country?
Yeah, I'm going to Chicago.
That boy Jaden looked different, bro.
Who you taking? Jalen Scott?
I'm playing it safe. I'm going to go with Commanders.
Commanders. All right.
Oh.
I'm going Washington. I'm going Washington.
That's what I was over there thinking about.
Jaden Daniels hurt?
Yeah, rib injury. But I think he's going to thug it out.
He said, whoa.
Well, he has a rib injury, but like I think he's going to thug it out and play.
He better thug that out.
It's in Washington.
It's in Washington.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to go with Commanders.
Who Commanders back up, though?
Marcus Mariota.
I'm going Commanders regardless.
So I'm the only one that's going Chicago.
All right, Dallas versus Niners, Sunday night. Who we taking?
Oh, my gosh.
Who we taking? This y'all know I'm going with.
The 49ers. Niners.
The Niners for the play with me, G, and Jeff. All right.
Jeff, the boys better not let me down this time. Man.
They not. Trust. Who we taking? So is it everybody taking the Niners butt country?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. Yeah.
I'm staying on the Cowboys.
The Cowboys are so bad.
But the Niners are just as bad too.
No,
they just played the Chiefs, who were the defending.
I ain't gonna hold you. The Niners ain't had no offensive linemen going out for routes yet against them. So
that is true. All right, last game,
bro. I didn't even make my pick yet.
Who'd you pick?
Hold on.
He's trying to do extensive research. This is not edit. Come on, man.
I'm going with the Niners.
You did all that.
Hey, man, shut up.
Last game, Monday night. Who we taking, fellas?
Steelers.
Giants or the Steelers?
Come on, bro.
Daniel Jones got a record of 1-15 in primetime games. So, of course, I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Everybody's Steelers. That stat.
Hold on. It's who? Who is it? Who? Steelers and who?
Steelers and Giants.
Steelers.
Oh, and I missed the game. Bengals versus the Eagles. Who we taking?
Eagles. Where the game at?
Cincinnati. No matter if it was in heaven, Eagles.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
So everybody Eagles, but yeah, y'all two. Justin and country.
Yeah, I'm going Eagles.
All right, great. We'll see how everybody ends up. A lot of everybody picked the same team.
I am not editing again.
But we'll see. But now, fellas. That's the best part of the show.
That's why he plays. He got the same exact picks that you got.
I'm stat padding right now. I don't care.
This is the best part of the show, fellas. Basketball. NBA season starts this week exactly on the day we are recording. But before we get started with that, fellas, some things have been shaking up with Cat going to New York. You have Donte DiVincenzo and Julius Randle going to the Timberwolves. But who can go farther with his new look team? The Knicks or the Timberwolves?
I'd say the Knicks.
Yeah, Knicks.
Hold on.
But Jeff and I talked about this yesterday, actually. We were talking about how, like, top-heavy the East is. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that might be the breaking point that they need to get over the hump. Yeah. I actually have the Knicks going pretty far in the East.
And then it's also, like, it's nothing against the Timberwolves. It's just because they in the West.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The West is actually, like, heavy from 1-10.
The West not what it used to be.
But it's still the West.
You said the West is not what?
It's not what it used to be.
But it's still the West.
So the East is better?
Did I say that? I just said it's not what it used to
be. But that's the point.
I'm just clarifying. That's all I'm doing.
Michael Trim Jr.
I'm listening.
The three from 2024. Listen, brother. We just said the East is top heavy. And you saying the West is not what it used to be, but it's still from 1-10.
Yeah, 1-10, but the 10 seed is not messing with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Who you think the 10 seed is probably going to be like?
The Rockets.
In a 7-game series, you're still taking Minnesota 10 times out of 10. Golden State, you're still taking Minnesota. You don't even know who's the definitive favorite.
But let me tell you the thing about the East, the 10th seed. Who is it going to be? The Bulls? The Hornets? Come on now.
That's worse. The West is deeper with average teams.
So
the East is just like,
wait,
top heavy, like you said, but the East is deeper with
He's literally proving our point.
No, I'm not. The Minnesota Timberwolves don't have the top-heavy competition the New York Knicks have to go through.
You can stop right there.
Just stop right there.
I'm saying that because they're not beating Boston.
That's what I'm saying.
But they, but they will not be facing
If Kristaps Porzingis is not there, I'm probably taking New York.
But he's going to be there, so there's no if.
I don't know about that.
I just feel as though, like, you're not hearing what we're saying. You're literally making just our point.
Just responding.
So the thing was, who can go further between the Knicks and the Timberwolves? And you just said, okay, the 10 seed from the West is not messing with the Knicks. We get that. Why? Because we're saying from 1-3 or 1-4, whatever you want to say, oh, if they can make it past the second round, they already in the conference finals. What we're saying is the Timberwolves might not even make it out the first round because they might be the 4th or 5th seed.
No.
And that 4th and
no,
fifth seed
what I was saying was, what I was saying was, in the Western Conference,
okay,
outside of probably the Denver Nuggets and Oklahoma City Thunder, I was looking for them. The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Still mean disrespectful.
The Mavs are in there because of how to.
Like
how
I said, those two teams are the only two teams I can see beating the Minnesota Timberwolves.
But guess what? The Minnesota's going to have to play one of those two teams in the first round.
No, they're not.
I'm not saying the first round, in the second round.
They're going to play them in the second round.
Okay, and what makes you think New York's not going to play Boston in the second round? You think New York's going to be the second seed?
Yes.
I disagree.
Yes.
You already have Embiid and PG not playing.
I'm not worried about the Sixers. They're made out of paper mache. We're talking about we're talking about teams like the Milwaukee Bucks, the Orlando Magic. Like, come on,
cut his mic.
The Cleveland Cavaliers,
Indiana Pacers.
They were just in the Eastern Conference Finals.
They were in the
Y'all gotta
Eastern
stop just looking at the rosters and be like, they have top heavy talent. We're not doing that. We're not finna just look at the roster and be like, oh, they have Paul George and Joel Embiid. No, we're gonna look at the roster.
We're not also finna just insert the Orlando Magic's gonna be stopping the New York Knicks.
I said, no, we're not doing that either. We're talking about the Magic, the Cavs, the Pacers, all three teams that I think in a 7-game series could give the New York Knicks trouble and probably win.
Hey, Mike, you have been suspended for 2 weeks.
Thank you, Justin. Right, the Magic?
All right, bro.
The Cavs? All
right, bro.
They're not.
Exactly. You have Cat coming in. He's a playoff riser. He just came off shooting.
Dude, he had one good playoff series.
He's coming off shooting.
Stop calling him a riser. He did it one time. He did it one time.
Let him land. Let him land. Let him land. Let him land. Let him land.
I think when I look at the Knicks team, I don't consider this team to be like on the tier of the Boston Celtics.
They're right under. I say they're right under.
They're right under. Because it's Boston versus everybody else.
I don't know how good Cat is going to be a fit for them.
Why say that?
That
team is
gonna have a big rim
protection.
What do you mean? That's the most important form of defense.
But real quick, Justin.
During playoff time, I think that's gonna give us some issues. If you get the shooting that you got from Mikal Bridges in the preseason,
that's not gonna work either. Yeah, that's true, because that shot is horrendous.
It looks disgusting.
OG Anunoby availability. Like, we can start right there. I'm looking at this Knicks team. I'm maybe not as high on them as the rest of y'all.
They may lose in the first round. They may lose in the first round, bro.
That's where I agree with Mike. I agree with Mike in the sense
like,
that,
bro, y'all seen Karl Anthony Towns and y'all eyes lit up. Like, bro, no.
That's where I agree with Mike. I think that the teams in the Eastern Conference could still give them some issues. But I still think that the move, that trade, worked in their favor.
It heavily worked in their favor.
Heavily.
He still tried to sneak in the Orlando.
Yeah,
he still tried.
Yeah, I'm still on that. Him sneaking in Orlando.
Hey, Mike,
Magic,
we love the fandom of you being.
It's
Orlando
not even
Magic.
Fandom, bro. I just know basketball. It's like, dude, we added one of the best 3-and-D players. We were already a top 3 defense in basketball. He's a 40%.
Who are you talking about? Orlando Magic.
Contavious Caldwell-Pope.
Contavious Caldwell-Pope. Oh,
another year of Paolo Banchero. Another year of Franz Wagner. All defensive first teamer Jalen Suggs, who just got paid.
Ooh, after so what we saw from Wagner last year, nah.
Dude. No, yeah, stop that. He had more fouls than points.
Yeah, let's stop that.
But we're
stop.
So we're talking about 1 year.
Next.
We're talking about
Next.
1 year. And then Karl-Anthony Towns didn't win.
Who
year.
Y'all
about,
who y'all guard? Like what? Y'all didn't improve on guard play.
Oh, we just
we're
got
not talking
KCP
about the magic. We're not talking about the magic. Right. Anyways,
hold on. One more thing.
Go,
thing.
Go.
One thing about the Wolves, I am looking forward to the rise of Jaden McDaniels. He's going to be in a bigger.
I agree.
The biggest role he's been.
Naz Reid too.
And you're forgetting Dante DiVincenzo.
Naz Reid.
We're gonna have to look and see what Jaden McDaniels is able to do in this role. Because Julius Randle's another guy who's had some availability issues.
And Julius Randle is a cancer to every team he plays on.
We've been talking about Jalen Johnson. I think Jaden McDaniels is a sleeper right now for most of
the players. True. The only thing about the Wolves is spacing, because I don't think Julius Randle's a good floor spacer. On top of Rudy Gobert, you have already there. That's my only problem. And that's why I say the Knicks go a little bit farther, because you have Cat, floor spacer. Brunson, floor spacer. Bridges, floor spacer.
Not from what I've seen, but keep going.
I'm just saying, though, like, that can space the floor. I'm not saying, like, shooting wise. I'm saying, like, spacing the floor wise and have a man be closer, hugged up a little bit more than somebody else. But that's why I have the Knicks go a little bit farther. Now, fellas, more NBA talk. Early NBA award predictions. We're just going to go quick. We're going to do MVP, six man, all that. Go. Mike, we're going to start with you. NBA predictions real quick. MVP, six man, all that. Let's go. MVP. Start for MVP, though.
SGA.
Rookie of the year.
Alex R.
Six man of the year.
Six man, I'm going to go with Malik Monk.
Most improved player of the year.
I like that pick. I'm going to take that.
You said most improved?
Most improved player of the year, yes.
I'm going to go with Evan Mobley.
Clutch player of the year.
Can he get a Malik most improved?
Yeah.
Clutch player of the year.
Jalen Brunson.
Defensive player of the year.
I was thinking.
Evan Mobley.
And then, so two awards.
Smoking.
All right.
I thought you would have said Wembanyama.
And last one, coach of the year.
Jamal Mosley.
All right. Tristan, go.
Yeah, I ain't doing all the MVP, Luka, rookie of the year, Stephon Castle, San Antonio. I took his sixth man of the year, Malik Monk.
Yeah.
And my most DP, improved. My DPOY, Wimby. I ain't doing all the other stuff.
Okay. Justin.
MVP?
Yes.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's strong. Next.
What's next?
Six rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year.
Sixth man, either way.
Zachary Richardson.
You don't even believe that.
Zachary Richardson, man. Impact from day one. Look.
No, I think it's gonna be
in
good.
The G League.
I think he's gonna be. he's gonna be good, but bro, Trey's gonna have the ball 90% of the time.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Six man a year.
Y'all don't believe it now, but six man of the year. I'm also. That's tough. Six man a year. Is Tyler Herro here?
Probably not.
Probably not.
If that's the case, I think I will go with Malik.
Okay. Right, most improved player.
Jalen Johnson.
I'm right there with
man.
You on that
y'all
one.
Know what's going on, man. And coach Jalen Johnson just got paid, you know what I'm saying?
So no love for Stephon Castle?
Yeah. And coach of the year?
Coach of the year?
Yes.
Just say his name. Just say his name.
No. JJ Redick.
Ooh. Don't piss me off.
What?
G, go. MVP.
MVP, I'm going to say Shea. Defensive player, I'm going to say Vic.
Rookie.
I don't know. I'm not really impressed with
him. He finna say the same thing.
But I guess I'll say Jeff about to start.
Blazing.
Reed Shepard.
Yes!
Six man of the year. I can see Malik Monk get it, but I'll throw out another name.
Yeah, who?
DiVincenzo.
Okay.
That's who my second pick.
What's another?
Most improved?
Most improved, Jalen Johnson.
Defensive player of the year?
Vic.
Coach of the year?
Budenholzer.
Dude,
interesting. J. Scott. MVP.
MVP, I'm going to go SGA.
Rookie of the year.
I'm going to go Zach Edey.
Zach Edey.
I like that. Can I change one of my picks after y'all done?
No. Six man of the year.
Six man of the year. DiVincenzo.
Most improved player of the year.
Tyler Herro.
Okay. Defensive player of the year.
I'm going to go Wembanyama.
And coach of the year.
This one I wasn't sure. I'm going to go old boy from Rockets.
E-May.
E-May.
Hey.
Damn. Can I change?
I was going to say him, too. Let me change the E-May.
Okay.
Take off, though. Hold on.
What happened?
Y'all let me get my DPOY.
DPOY who?
Herb Jones.
I like that. I like that strong. Country, go.
All right, so my
MVP.
MVP, I said Shea.
Yes. Sixth man of the year?
Nas Reed.
I like that. Rookie of the year?
Zach Edey.
Defensive player of the year?
Wemby.
Most improved?
Jonathan Kuminga.
Ooh, that's a good pick.
Okay. Coach of the year.
Honestly, I'm going to say E-May.
Hey! Okay!
Because I really do think E-May's going to, for some reason,
this is what I'm talking about,
fellas. This not even a glaze, but I think the Rockets going to surprise. They're going to be the biggest surprise of that.
That's what I'm talking about, Country.
I mean,
he's not paid, by the way.
We didn't see them being a playing team last year. Like,
come on, man, five games short, man. We there this year.
Like, but it's like it was the same thing for OKC. Like I said, OKC was gonna be a playing team last year.
Yeah, I don't know why you said that.
I mean,
anyways, my MVP, I'm going with Luka. My sixth man of the year, I'm going Nas. Rookie of the year, Reed Shepard. Most improved, Jalen Johnson for sure. Defensive player of the year is between Wimby and Herb, but I'm gonna go with Wimby. Coach of the Year. Come on now, he may.
Hey, I'm not.
I can change one of my picks.
I'm giving coaches of the year to a projected 10 seed.
That's what I'm saying. I can change one of my picks though.
Hey, I got a question though. So it's like, do y'all think that Jerry Jackson could actually win Rookie of the Year now that he's not asked to be played more in this as a center?
Did you say rookie of the year?
No, I meant to say defensive player of the year.
Oh.
He already won one.
Yeah, no. I'm saying like you think he could actually win it this year?
Win another one? No. He won't win another one.
No, that was the only shot.
Can I
go change your pick, man? You want to change your pick? Change your pick, man. Who?
Most improved player is gonna it's Kate Cunningham instead of Mobley.
Okay. We can't say
buddy
most improved. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't know
how you can say that.
Now, fellas, before we end off the show, let's just do our shout outs. I'll start off first. I want to first and foremost thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shout out to the guys in the studio. Shout out to family and friends back at home. Let's keep being great, fellas. And Mike, I'm gonna hold you to that 4 seed for the Magic. I'm gonna hold you to that.
4
that's
seed,
all I'm say.
Probably Eastern Conference Finals.
That's all I'm gonna say.
Man, shut up,
G-Go.
At least second round now.
Hey, man, first of all, shout out to God. Shout out to everybody back at the crib in Savannah, man. Shout out to y'all boys for having me on here. You know, just shout out to the grind. Shout out to just embracing the process, man. And right now, my favorite number is 52, because I got 52 days till I graduate.
Yeah, boy, Ray Lewis.
Just want to start out the shout outs by saying I hate every single one of you in the studio right now. This episode took way too long to make. It's about to be a pain in the butt to edit, but I appreciate the process. I'm going to learn from it. It's going to make me better. I want to thank my parents at home. Thank my little sister. She sent me a little text. I really appreciate it. Also want to shout out the women's cross country team. Didn't finish out the season how they wanted to. They finished second overall, but it's still a good performance.
Oh yeah, I just want to thank God. I just want to thank everybody in the studio, and I also want to thank the real Beta Alpha chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated for the pageant this week. It taught me a lot, and I definitely appreciate it. And I also want to appreciate the MVP of the pageant, Mr. Jeffrey Hood Jr., because if it wasn't for Jeff, I would have lost my mind. But I appreciate you so much, brother.
I appreciate you too, Brody.
Even though Jeff ain't talked to nobody, like he said he wanted to.
Next!
I just want to say shout out to my Lord and Savior. Shout out to my family. Shout out to my girlfriend. Listen, fellas, if y'all got a good woman in her life, make sure you treat her well. A good woman.
That's real, no?
Yeah, Tristan.
Hey, cut that boy, Mike. Cut that boy, Mike. We talking about sports. Listen, man, I'm just playing.
Shout out to her. And shout out to all y'all, too. Love being in this movie,
though. Woo, woo. Oh, wait, no, me? Hey, man, shout out to me, man. That's all.
All right, it's on me, I guess. God, first and foremost, God, thank your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, that's how we wouldn't be able to do what we love every day. You know, be great and stuff like that. You know, not to edit the episode. Also, got to thank the guys in the studio. You know, y'all pushed me to be better in every aspect. You know, basketball, football, college, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Also, shout out to Jay Suggs securing a $150 million bag. We're going to need it this season.
Halftime of the Playmates is a product of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.